having us, we are extremely, let me say, really inspired, really inspired. It's rare for me to say this, but I was so inspired I couldn't sleep the whole night. Don't worry, I have my thoughts, therefore I take notes. When I'm very tired, I read from notes. So inspired, because I think we will learn to appreciate more and more the rarity and the speciality of coming together in a temple and having darshan of Radha Madan Mohan or of other deities. It's something special. The moment you don't have an easy access to something, that very thing becomes extremely valuable. No? The moment you don't have an easy access to something, that very thing becomes very special. In German, there's a poem, it goes like this. Alles war besonders, denn alles war bedroht. It's a little dramatic way to say. Everything became special because it did no longer, we didn't know if it would exist for much longer. So I'm really, really grateful that I can come to a temple. It's something which I don't have so often any longer. The last time I was in the temple was for Nrisimha Chaturthi, with many people. We have a wonderful temple where we live. I mean, really wonderful. But there are not so many devotees. We are few. But in Nrisimha Chaturthi, I was there. And now I'm here, so I'm really, I think it's special. I don't take it for granted. I don't think it's selbstverständlich. So with this, I would like to encourage all of you to somehow make most use of your time which you spent here in Goloka Dham. Somehow see how you can really make this a special time. A time where you create memories with Krishna, memories to which you can return when it's not so easy to celebrate in that temple. I thought in the lectures which I will give, I go to a really, really a subject which is very much on my heart. I would call it the transformative effect of initiation. You know, what an initiation, if we take advantage of it, what it can do in our life. This is the lecture today, and the morning lecture, and then after, let me say, then I will obviously talk about Jamashtami related subjects, Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, opulences. But then I'm so fortunate to stay 3 days longer, and I think there will be an opportunity to give lectures. I want to continue with this subject, the transformative influence of initiation. Now, I can guarantee you it will be something totally different than you think it is. It will be quite amazing, I think, for the old-timers amongst you. I will challenge your understanding of Krishna consciousness so far, and open a new dimension. I hope to do it. I have to see how open you are and how deep you wish to go. So that I have to feel somehow, because it's for your benefit. I'm not talking for me. I'm trying to talk for my audience, obviously. The lecture must be a servant of every single one who comes to the lecture. So let me try. But I chose this subject because for already quite some time, I believe it is the effect of going to Vrindavan Dham, I'm thinking about the special gift of our sampradaya, of our lineage, of our particular school, what this can give to an individual. The absolute truth is one. But there are various ways which are discussed in various lineages or sampradayas or paramparas which bring you there. And it is very important for an individual to understand, okay, this is what is given in my school, and let me take advantage. Now, I was thinking about this yesterday because I talked to a lama yesterday, very wonderful soul, really. He's from the mountains in Tibet, and he fled with his parents and came to Ladakh, and there grew up, and he is a monk since the age of seven. And I like such people very much. I feel spontaneously drawn to their sangha, to their association. And as we were discussing, we found out that we have the same saint whom we adore. I think you know, when I was in Tibet, I visited the caves of this yogi Milarepa. I found three caves of his. He has many caves. He was just traveling. He's a yogi who's known there as the green yogi, because he only ate brennesseln. Wie sagt man das in Deutsch? Nettles. Only. And therefore, von all dem Grünzeug, from all this green nettles, his body turned green. He was very, very renounced. And when he would talk, he would break out in spontaneous song, and he would teach his people the people who came to him, by singing to them. And these were very inspired songs. For instance, he would sing, "My possession is possessionlessness." Mein Besitz ist die Besitzlosigkeit. Amazing concept. So the people who came after him and formed his lineage, his line, they are the Kagyu line, very serious practitioners, very good character, and really impressive. So when I was in Tibet, I was informing myself, and later I was very happy to spend the time to give a retreat, few retreats actually in America, in a Buddhistic retreat center. There I got a book called The Thousand Songs of Milarepa. And as I studied this, I found out, wow, these are the concepts which we teach in Gaudiya Vaishnavism also. The philosophical view on the world is Sankhya, counting what is there and making a difference between you, the observer, and the observed, what goes on outside of you. And it's so identical. So yesterday I talked to the Lama and I said, isn't it that all that the truth is one? And I gave him an example. It's like a river. And then the religions come, they take a bottle from the river of truth and they make a label on it. And it says, best Muslim water. Then another religion comes, best Christian water. Only Christianity is true. Then the Hindus come, have also a label. Only Hinduism is true. Nothing else. Then some sect comes, our sect is the only way. It's the same water. Bottled in different bottles and with different labels. So we spoke like this, and then we became very friendly with each other. And then he said, so why are you not a Buddhist when you like Milarepa? I said, yeah, I like him, but I'm in love with Krishna. And then I said, I believe very strongly that, yes, the truth is one, but there are different accesses, Zugänge. And once you find an access that is appealing to you, where you can feel, wow, this is my path, then you should be really very, very true to your path. And I said to him, see, Lamaji, my dear Lama, I would never ask you to sing Hare Krishna. I mean, singing, yes, but you have to do your thing, which was revealed to you, but you have to go very deep in it. And I think you do. You know, he was really a saintly being, you could see. Because the Lord is one, but there are ways, and he often reveals the way according to your adhikar, the way you are. And I said, but now I've said enough. I want to meet you and ask you 1,000 questions to the 1,000 songs of Milarepa next time we meet. He said, yes. Because he has learned, you know, they learn in Buddhistic universities. The lamas really know a lot. They are good. So today, I would like to start bringing to you the access road of Krishna consciousness in a very unexpected way, I hope, and I will give courage to your heart to practice deeper so that you can actually become an ecstatic devotee. Ananda Gamandari, that's a good project, isn't it? No more ups and downs of the mind. Just ecstasy and bliss. That is very good, very good. So I hope I can. We can do this, I feel so inspired to talk about this because, you know, only a few more hours, and there will be a cloud over Goloka Dham. A cloud which will rain down happiness. Because everyone celebrates Krishna has appeared. Krishna is coming, and it's not just a historic event, my dear devotees, 5,000 years ago. No, from the tradition we understand that the real celebration of Jamashtami is when the devotee can actually experience Krishna's appearance in the heart. So therefore we are here to give Krishna a very wonderful welcome. We want to welcome him really and please him and satisfy him so that he smiles in our direction and decides to come into our heart and hopefully not leave. Good. So let us please start. We will Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Savatman yachute sarve. Savatman yachute sarve tivrogam bhaktimutvan. Dadashat mani bhuteshu. Tameva vastitam vibhum. Savatman yachute sarve.
Savatman yachute sarve.
Tivrogam bhaktimutvan.
Tivrogam bhaktimutvan.
Dadashat mani bhuteshu.
Dadashat mani bhuteshu.
Tameva vastitam vibhum. Savatman yachute sarve.
Savatman yachute sarve.
Tivrogam bhaktimutvan.
Tivrogam bhaktimutvan.
Dadashat mani bhuteshu.
Dadashat mani bhuteshu.
Tameva vastitam vibhum.
Tameva vastitam.
Yes, please.
Savatman yachute sarve.
Savatman yachute sarve.
Tivrogam bhaktimutvaham.
Tivrogam bhaktimutvaham.
Dadashat mani bhuteshu.
Dadashat mani bhuteshu.
Tameva vastitam vibhum.
Tameva vastitam vibhum.
Savatman yachute sarve.
Savatman yachute sarve.
Tivrogam bhaktimutvaham.
Tivrogam bhaktimutvaham.
Dadashat mani bhuteshu.
Dadashat mani bhuteshu.
Tameva vastitam vibhum.
Tameva vastitam vibhum. Savatman yachute sarve.
Tivrogam
bhaktimutvaham.
Dadashat mani bhuteshu.
Sarvani Bhuteshu.
Maybe a Vaishnavi could chant. Can you find this verse 11:236? Thank you very much. So, this is about Dhruva Maharaj, who received such an exalted state of Godhead, of Krishna consciousness, I wanted to say, that towards the end of his life, the Lord sent Vimana, a spaceship from Vaikuntha, to come and get him, and bring him back to Godhead. Now, most of us, when we go back to Godhead one day, we will not do this in this body. We will go in our spiritual body, which is there are many different theories, but one theory says it's already there, the spiritual body. Our body is just waiting until we are ready to grow into this body by our spiritual practice. It's almost like when we lived in Heidelberg, there were bicycles before the train station, and the students who studied in Karlsruhe, when they came back to Heidelberg train station, they would get on the bicycle and drive on the with the bicycle. They would go to their places. So the same way, so they were in a different place in Karlsruhe, but their vehicle, their bicycle was already in Heidelberg, waiting for them. So in the same way, your original constitutional position is eternal. It's already there. So when you come, when you're maturing, you will first see it, your spiritual body, and then at one time when you are mature enough, you will enter into the spiritual body and continue from then on to act in that transformed identity with which you can come very close to, in which you are associating with the Lord. No? As Prabhupada said, if you want to enter the fire, you can't do this with this type of body. You need to become fire yourself. Otherwise, how will the two atmosphere mix? So this is the normal scenario, that you transform into your spiritual identity. But Dhruva was different. He was so exalted. He went in the same body back home, back to Godhead, because his body was totally spiritual. Imagine seeing someone who comes into the room with a spiritual body. Most probably we wouldn't see him with our eyes. But Dhruva somehow had a possibility that he could, he was visible to the residents of the world, but he was totally spiritual. So this is quite advanced, as you can see. So here we will now hear about this. Sarva Atmani. Unto the Super Soul. Achyute. Infallible. Asarve.
Without any limit.
Tivraogam. With unrelenting force. Yeah, it's something like unrelenting, irresistible, no? Bhaktim, devotional service. Utvahan, rendering. Dadarsha, he saw. Atmani, in the Supreme Spirit. Bhuteshu,
in all living
entities. Tam, him. Eva, only. Avastitam, situated. Vibhum, all powerful. Translation. Dhruva Maharaj rendered devotional service unto the Supreme, the reservoir of everything, with unrelenting force. He was unstoppable in his service. While carrying out his devotional service to the Lord, he could actually see that everything is situated in him only, and that he is situated in all living entities. You know, he had this darshan, how everything exists in Krishna, and Krishna, on the other hand, is situated in all living entities, only Krishna. And what he also saw is, the Lord is called Achyuta because he never fails in his prime duty to give protection to his devotees. Amazing, no? The Lord is infallible because he has given a promise and he will never break it. Never. He will protect his devotees. That's why he is Achyuta. Translation. We had this purport. Not only did Dhruva Maharaj perform many sacrifices, no, but he carried on his transcendental occupation of engagement in devotional service of the Lord. So he did yajnas and he did bhakti. The ordinary karmis who want to enjoy the results of fruitive activities are concerned only with sacrifices and ritualistic ceremonies as enjoyed in the Vedic Shastras. But although Dhruva Maharaj performed many sacrifices, yes, he did all that, in order to be an exemplary king, he was constantly engaged in devotional service. The Lord always protects his surrendered devotees. A devotee can see that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesh ajuna tishtati. Yes, you know, so many brahmanas are here. Ordinary persons cannot understand how the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. But a devotee can actually see him. Not only can the devotee see him outwardly, but he can see with spiritual vision that everything is resting in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described in Bhagavad Gita. Matstani Sarvabhutani. That is the vision of a Mahabhagavat. He sees everything which others also see, but instead of seeing merely the trees of Golokadam or the mountains or hills of Golokadam, the cities, Frankfurt, or the sky, no, he sees only his worshipable Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything, because everything is resting in him only. This is the vision. In summary, a Mahabhagavat, a highly elevated pure devotee, sees the Lord everywhere, as well as within the heart of everyone. Wow! This is possible for devotees who have developed elevated devotional service to the Lord. As stated in the Brahma Sanghita, I think you know this verse also, Premanjana Churita Bhakti bhakti vilochanena. Only those who have smeared their eyes with the ointment of love of Godhead can see everywhere the Supreme Lord face to face. It is not possible by imagination or so-called meditation. You need to put an ointment on the eyes. Some of you are very expert in ointments. Schminke, I won't look in your direction now. But this is the Schminke which we all want, even men. The ointment of love, because then that makes us see. The other ointment makes us be seen by others, but this makes us see the ointment of love. Very good, Schminke. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sadasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My interest in the subject matter, transformation by initiation, started actually when I was a child and looked into various they were esoteric practices from today's perspective, and how it can elevate the personal practices it to see beyond the illusion of sensual perception, or the, beyond the limits, let us say. It's not an illusion, but the limits of sensual perception. I was very interested and then came to Krishna consciousness and forgot about it. And then there was one, many years ago, I went with a friend. We crossed the Yamuna and we went to Bandiravan. And we went through the fields, and I asked this friend. He was from a different lineage. He was not a member of our movement, but he was a very strong devotee of Krishna. I asked him, "Do you think you will reach Krishna in this lifetime?" And his answer surprised me. He said, "I'm already with Krishna. Now." I said, "Really? And then he started to talk to me. They followed Bhagavatam, the whole thing, and he started to talk to me. And how, when you take initiation, you immediately become a part of Krishna's samsara. Samsara in this connection means family. And I thought, have I made a mistake by choosing ISKCON? we hear of this, we are separated and very fallen, and this person tells me he's already with Krishna. But because he made a faith statement, I didn't want to argue with him. I felt very, very insecure by this discussion, to be quite frank with you. I felt he is a Vaishnava who tells me he's with Krishna. He has the same history as me. He comes from New York. He practiced, started the same age when I started my practice. And he says he's already with Krishna. I thought, come on. And then I said, please explain yourself. I mean, and he started to talk that at the time of Krishna, of taking initiation, you are, or Krishna has taken your case, you are now with Krishna. I have never forgotten what he said, and I've never stopped thinking about this subject. It was many years ago. This friend has left his body by now, and I have many thoughts about this. One is that after an initiation, three of my god brothers came to Srila Prabhupada. They were not satisfied. They said, we thought that with initiation, we are much higher in our consciousness than we are, but we can't see anything. We don't feel anything. And then Prabhupada gave them an analogy which is really thought-provoking. He said, when someone who was drowning in an ocean and he fainted, you know, he was drowning, he lost his consciousness, and this is just going under. When a ship comes by and picks that person up and puts him on deck, then that person is no longer drowning, no? Yes, they said. So in the same way, with your initiation, you're picked up and you put on the deck of, Prabhupada would say, of Krishna consciousness. And now it's just a question of time before you wake up from your fainting spell, dein Ohnmachtsanfall. It's only a question of time. But you are already no longer in the water any longer. You may dream and you may have all the phantasmagoria of a person who's drowning, you know, lack of oxygen, then the brain works differently, and you, all this may still go on, but you are in a different situation now. And it's a question of time when it comes out. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, comments on a verse which tells you the power of bhakti. It says, the power of bhakti is such that it transforms your subtle body. The subtle body is the cause of thinking, I'm a German, I'm a father, I'm a big swami. I'm not, I'm a low, small swami. I'm a this, I'm a fallen soul, I'm a really, you know, all these, you could say, in a modern word, narratives, things which your mind talks to you constantly and which you believe most of the time. So, the bhakti, it says, transforms this. Like a fire which transforms wood and makes it into something else, ashes. In the same way, bhakti transforms the subtle body. Subtle body means also the ego. You are thinking all of a sudden, yeah, I'm Krishna, I'm with Krishna, Krishna. You know, all this mental cloud, or this illusion, which is unfortunately very thick, is consumed, transformed by bhakti. Now, Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur makes an interesting purport. He says, the fire of digestion transforms food. The one who eats is not aware how this process goes on. It takes from 9 to 12 hours, he says. But the moment you start to eat, this process is initiated. It starts. The fire of digestion works at you. No? Isn't it? We put food in our mouth and immediately, that feeling of you know, dissatisfaction. The fire is burning and has nothing to burn and burns us. It stops. Oh, good. Then you continue and then it takes 9 to 12 hours to digest. That's why in spiritual people take a pause of 9 hours before the meals. They stop eating at 4 o'clock, and then when they're practicing sadhana, then they do not eat any longer, and then only after 9 hours or 12 hours have elapsed, they start eating again. And then they may eat a few times in the day, no? Because they want to make sure that all food is digested so that no poisons which come from undigested food assimilate in the body and cause disease or distraction of the mind. That's for when you are on a strict sadhaka level. Most of us do services throughout the day, so it may not be so important for us, this rule. At least not to the younger amongst us. But I'm speaking now of these who are monk-like sadhakas who live like that. So the point here is, at the moment you put food in, a process starts. A process is initiated, right? And then it brings a certain result. So in the same way, when you say, I'm already with Krishna, it's philosophically correct. You may not yet see it with your mind, because the mind is still full of maya, mayic thoughts, and karmic impressions, and the ego is still quite strong. I'm thinking of ego here not as a Schimpfwort, but as a fact of life. We all are bound by an ahankara to this body and this material existence. It is already in the process of being dissolved. And here is very interesting. When Krishna sees that someone is trying to approach him, then Krishna is very, very pleased. There is a verse in the 11th canto which says, Krishna is more pleased with the souls who approach him from this world than he is even with Lakshmi and Uddhava and these high devotees. Why? Because these high devotees, they don't need to struggle like we have to struggle to get ava, to get the fog out of our brains, you know. They don't have to fight. But we have to fight to come to Jamashtami. You know, we have to struggle with our mind. We have to. And then the mind tells us this, and the mind tells us that. I prepared for this lecture by making a morning walk when it was still very dark. It was right after Artik, and I thought, let me go in the forest. And I walked through the darkness in the forest, and then I thought, oh, this is a mistake. You know, how can you go in the forest? You know there are wild pigs in Golokadam. This, what is it called? Wildschweine, wie sagt man in English? Wild boars, you know, with teeth. And then we have foxes here. You know, you hear them in the night calling. And I thought, oh no. And then there was a sound in the bush. My mind told me, this is a wild hawk. It is coming. You know, wild hawks, you have to be careful because they have these sharp teeth, and when they attack you, boom, they are stronger than you. So, and I thought, come on, Sajina, will you please chant now? No, you made a mistake, you fool. You went at night in the forest. You know, this is crazy. I said, no, otherwise I would fall asleep. I need some walk. Yesterday we drove 20, I don't know, 12 hours or so, and we made a pause, but now everything is not working, circulation is not working. You need a good workout, and you chant now, please. Then I walk. There was, of course, nothing is there, and Krishna protects. He's infallible in his vow, you know. He wants to protect. So I went alone. Then I came to this, and I saw some dark things moving on the path. And again, the mind went, "These are ghosts." I said, "They are not ghosts." And ghosts are no problem when you chant. Then I came closer and I saw there were deers, you know, deers, wie sagt man, Rehe, playing. But I could see my mind was constantly making the story of danger, 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 somehow. And I thought, come on, this is a hallucination. And you have to observe the mind, and then you have to talk to the mind, and then it gives peace at one stage. So Krishna consciousness is like this. There is a reality, my dear devotees, that Krishna has seen that you are coming wanting to come to his lotus feet. He likes you, believe it or not. Our mind will tell us, no, I'm not good enough. But he likes you. He likes that you struggle to come to Krishna consciousness. He sees your Einsatz. I don't know what this is in English. Einsatz means your commitment, maybe, to the path. And he likes you. And all the time the mind goes on, oh no, and no, and oh no, and this interest, and that interest. And I'm very, very, very interested in this new movie. And unless I see it, my mind will not give peace. You know, the mind will tell you, oh, danger, 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 or they don't like me, oh no, or it's, oh now this newest disease, it will certainly kill me if I'm not careful. Or you think, there is no virus, no, it's all übertrieben. This is all mind talk from morning till evening, and never giving peace. No. Do you have a mind also? Do you know what I'm speaking about? Some of your faces freeze. Let's not show that I know. The The moment there's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a devotee takes to initiation. Now, initiation may not be what you think it is. Getting a new name, da la 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 la, being part of the institution, and so on and so forth. I'm speaking of a serious ancient process here, which is described in ancient scriptures, which has five aspects to it to be successful. One is getting a name. Getting a name means you get a name in two ways. You are renamed to indicate that you are now a Krishna Das, but you are getting also the holy name. Or then you get, wait a minute, I didn't want to speak about it, so I have to find the file here. Tapa, you get tapa, you get urvapuntra, you get mantra, you get yagya, you get nama. These are the five things. So you get some description. This is the path. Do this, and there are some things which are not good any longer. They belong to your old self. Stop with these. Then urvapuntra. Then you get a tilak, which means you are now part of a school where you train and learn and study. Then you get nama, the holy name, and you get also your name. Then you get mantra, the various mantras, and then you get yagya. Yagya means a process to sacrifice, to give to the Lord. And then that is the these five things work together to burn the wood and make it into something else, or to take the Heinrich and make him into the what's a good name with H? You say Haladara, no? That is the process which is given. In our line, most of the emphasis is given to the holy name. It's a mantra. The definition of a mantra is it frees you from unwanted mental activity or mental occupation. Mantra, it frees you from the unwanted mental occupation. Verstehst du? Also diese, was ein so, was da so rumdreht, um es in herkömmlichen Deutsch zu sagen, ne, was so im Geist so abgeht. So, it frees you from mental occupation. But my dear devotees, this only works when you absorb yourself in the mantra. Put the mantra, the vibration, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, in the heart, it must vibrate there. That's where you make the spiritual realization. And then you must bring the mantra back whenever it moves away. So the mantra, which is given to you by your sampradaya, embodies the deepest principle of, you know, all the secret knowledge, all the secret things which are there, which are taught to you one by one or revealed one by one. It protects the student from negative thoughts. Do you also know what negative thoughts are? It's terrible, isn't it? Sometimes they eat us up. No, we talked about this in Gaura Bhavan, negative thoughts. It can protect you when you take shelter at the time of the negative thoughts in the mantra. It carries also the power of the guru. you know, when you are initiated by the Guru in the mantra and you connect the Guru with the Guru, you are not separating your relationship. At that time, some of his realizations will flow into your chanting of the mantra. And ultimately, the mantra is a link, ein Verbindungsglied, between Jiva, the Jiva, and God, and the Lord. When a devotee practices bhakti in this mood, he does what my friend told me when we were walking across the Yamuna. I never forget this. It was such a scenic thing. We went first through the village of the snake charmers. That's something to bring your children to. These are people, the snake people they are called. They keep a snake for maybe 1 year in their house and they become friends. And then they never, when they walk, they have never problems, not even with cobras. So we went through this village. It was exciting. There's this village. Maybe I will show you one of the snake people. I have a short video, and when we will have on Jamashtami evening a slideshow searching for Krishna. The only slides. And maybe we put a little video to those who fall asleep when you see a snake or hear of a snake. You usually get up, you know, because it's very exciting. So maybe we should do it. Or I have to see it. It must fit. But now I spoke about it, I should do it because you will be. I want to see such a person. They have a magical, mystical view in their eyes. So, and then we continued on. And then my friend says to me, I'm already with Krishna. Now, after many years where I studied a little bit, this is a concept. It means, my Lord, I belong to you. When you forget everything of this lecture, which most of you will do, if you remember this mantra, I belong to you, my Lord. I belong to you. I'm yours. Taditva, it's called. It's a certain understanding which the bhakta has. And he practices in this understanding. I'm your servant. I want to give you pleasure, my Lord. There is one verse in the 11th canto. I'm almost finished. I know it's a little bit. It goes like this. Do you want to chant it with me? Yeah? I can chant two verse. It's a little bit Die Hymne des Bhaktas, the anthem of the Bhakta. Kayena vacha,
kayena vacha,
manasendriyerva,
manasendriyerva,
budhyatmana,
budhyatmana,
vanushrita,
vanushrita,
svabhava, karoti atyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samapayet tat. Yes. Whatever one does with his body, whatever one says with his words, whatever one thinks with his mind, whatever one perceives and does with his senses, whatever one tries to figure out with his intelligence, whatever one does in his purified consciousness, according to his present nature, you know, the way you are now, one should offer this to the Supreme, thinking, this is for the pleasure of the Lord. Whatever, everything, when you eat, for Krishna, to maintain your body, when you quarrel with your child, you want to help your child to grow and find his or her path. When you drive a car, you do this because wherever you go, it is somehow for you connected to Krishna. You almost feel that I belong to Krishna. It's Mataji sometimes feel this when they are married. At least, I'm not so expert here about modern psychology, but I do know about my grandmother. She felt I belong to Gustav. Gustav was the grandfather. I'm here. We are one. We are serving together and when or living together. And when my grandfather died, after a short time, she also left. She felt like this. I belong to you. No, I'm yours. And this is the way the devotee practices his bhakti. I belong to you. And I offer whatever it is for you. No, whatever. When there is a good, deep relationship, what one person does is also for the other person. It's always, it's included, you know, in the thing. Maybe in modern times, such type of relationships are difficult to find. But I know in my parents it's still there. It's the old generation. Not they feel like this. Like my mother will tell me, weißt du, du und dein Vater, wir sind das Gleiche. Wir sind so... It means you and me are the same in love. We are different. It's almost like, you know, this hand and this hand. This is the right hand. This is the left hand. They are belonging to the same body. No difference. I would not be happy if this goes, this hand. You know, they're together. So the devotee also feels like this. I belong to you, Krishna. Like the hand belongs to the body. And whatever I do, it is with the body. It's connected with the body. It's connected to you. And by this, when the Lord sees this, he really feels, wow, you are my family. Now, I will close with this last point. I was told in Krishna consciousness, when someone, a spiritualist, asks, who's your family, you say, I'm in the Achyuta Gotra. Have you heard this? You know, when you come at the Delhi airport, and the Indian man says, you know, it can be many things in India. But you know, when he's done with the normal procedures which need to be done, he will I say Achyuta Gotra, Mere dynasty they don't know, Mere Pariva, my family, Achyuta Gotra. I belong to this line. So this is how a devotee lives in this world. We don't just say it because it's chic to say, but we really feel like this. And when the Lord sees such a devotee, he does so. We have one devotee amongst us. He is an anthropologist, and he did research with devotees wanting to find out what is your experience in Krishna consciousness. And there were two categories in which the appearance took place. Rivoye, can you tell us?
Two types of the stories.
Yeah.
Arrangements and vexes.
Yeah, the devotee spoke of arrangements. This was Krishna's arrangement for my life. He made an arrangement for me. Very often devotees talk like this. No, no, don't we say Krishna's arrangement? I said it 2 times yesterday in the car because I'm afraid of the heat, too much heat. You may say, you don't dress like this. No, no, it needs to be the right temperature. But there was clouds all over and it was not so hot. So I said, this is Krishna's arrangements, the clouds. We say it all the time. But there may be better examples of Krishna's arrangements. I don't think we should always say it. But I said it out of my own faith. So, and then the devotee feels ecstasy, especially when he eats pizza. Is that ecstasy or is it just an ordinary pleasure? We have to see where we want to put this in what category. I'm just joking. So devotees have some feeling when they feel touched by Krishna in Krishna consciousness. The festival was ecstatic, they may say, because they had some realization of Krishna. So, what do I'm speaking about today? I'm speaking about one word, relationship. That's all. Relationship starts the moment you are in Krishna consciousness. If you forget it, yes, then the mind becomes very active with so many other relationships. But if you remember your sambandha, your relationship, my dear devotees, your life looks very Krishna conscious, very happy. Now very soon Jamashtami comes, a few more hours, maybe a little bit more than 24, when? 24?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow already, my God, this is very soon. I want to request you to go when there are, we are not many devotees this time, but when you feel you can have a little private meeting with Krishna on the altar, I would request you to have a talk with him. Means pray from your heart and say, I'm part of you. I feel somehow a connection. But can you please become a little bit more active in our relationship so that I can feel it stronger? You can say it nicely or what you wish to say. Then Krishna will look at you and he might look at you and his eyes might say, do you really wish that? Because when I become active, I have to purify the heart. That's when Krishna becomes active. Krishna's activeness for a conditioned soul is that he purifies the heart so that he can appear there in his glory and be seen there. So I request you to think about this one word, relationship. You are in the Achyuta Gotra. You are in the family of the infallible Lord. You can feel, I belong to you, Krishna. We have a relationship. It's not imagination. And you just need a little bit more transformation of the subtle body, that means the mind, and the ego and the intelligence, so that your subtle body is becoming transparent and is no longer in the way of receiving Krishna consciousness fully and perceiving Krishna consciousness fully. Dobro. So I will stop here. The Lord actually appeared at midnight, and he had his rasa dance also at midnight. In the rasa dance, he invites the rasa. Prabhupada said we should all dance with Krishna, like the sparks. We should all when the sparks are in the fire, they dance very nicely. But when the sparks fall out of the fire, pat, pat, he made this voice, the sound, then they become charcoal, also so Kohle. So Krishna invites us, come, dance with me. What a wonderful invitation, isn't it, Hari Seva? Come, dance with me. There's a poem, I will end now. Every child knows about God, not the God of the many do's and don'ts. No, the child knows of the God who says only four words to the human being. Come, dance with me. Beautiful, no? Very beautiful. There's so many good pure bones is there. Good. So, Hare Krishna. Now, I will end. Hare Krishna. Was this okay?
Wonderful.
No, you can't say now, of course. Yeah, Vishwadev, bitte. Yeah.
How does, is there also a kind of a confirmation or start when you take shiksha, that you take a shiksha?
Yeah, yeah. Shiksha, you do understand, it means instruction. I like to approach such questions from the tradition, not from what we do or don't do. We are human beings. Our movement is also very human. Some things are very correct, other things are in the process. So, like any human endeavor, it's nothing special. Shiksha, or receiving instructions and following them, really is very powerful. And that is because if there is someone who's qualified, that's very important. If they talk and give instructions, what these instructions are not really from the mental plane. Let me explain, please. There are three levels. One is what I can express in words. Yeah? Words. Or what anyone expresses in words. The level of words. Often, words can go out and can be printed also. There are many, many words. Then each one of us knows another level of truth. That is what you think. I think it's very difficult to express sometimes in all our thoughts in words. Therefore, often there are misunderstandings, and there is a need to ask the person, what did you really mean? What did you think? I could not get your meaning from your words. Words are very limited, and as we know, there are many... Ludwig Wittgenstein would say there are Wortspiele, you know, that a word means something in this cultural context, in this game. It means something totally different in this context. For instance, it's a gay day. This means in Old English, ein sehr festlicher Tag. In modern English, it means the people with one earring, you know, people who have attraction to the same sex, no? Gay. So words take different meanings in different contexts, and sentences also, and so on. Therefore, thoughts, where it's more clear what you think, are another level of truth. But the third level of truth, and that comes in Shiksha, is when a realized soul speaks, he will speak from an intuition, a place of inspiration, where the super soul speaks. I'm speaking now of a very high class devotee like Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, when Prabhupada speaks, have you noted it? His words have different effects. When you read the books, I know, Vishwadev, you read regularly in the Bhagavatam, it's really one of a kind, you know, how, and sometimes it conflicts with the modern word games, the modern Wortspiele, and the understanding. It's such a different concept, spoken from such a different mind, spoken from such a different level of understanding. I had a very, very, very profound spiritual experience with Srila Prabhupada. It was when I was very ill, and I had gone to Bosnia to cure myself in the good air and good mountain waters and good mountain everything. Unberührte Natur, we say in German, untouched nature. And I remember I would try to walk again. I needed sticks to walk because the legs were destroyed one leg was destroyed. And I went and heard all the time Prabhupada's lectures with a small little China product, you know, little, what is it, MP3 player or what they are called. And I still remember Prabhupada said in the lecture, what do you do for eternity? I thought, well, did I hear properly? I rewound back, and because I'm not such a technic expert, I went back a long time. I had to listen to the whole lecture again, and then the sentence came, what do you do for eternity? Wow! I heard it properly. I want to hear this again. And then it went back 10 minutes, and then it came back also again to the place, what do you do for eternity? At Vishwadev Prabhu, it touched me on a very deep level. It changed me. I thought from that moment on, what if it's true that I'm eternal? What if it's true that I'm a soul? And not just some sentence. What if this is true, my God? That I'm not the body. What if it is true? Just give it a chance, a millimeter chance that I was... This would mean a whole change of my life, I guess. And I became very inspired, and I think I owe to Prabhupada that after some time the leg worked again, because I was so enthusiastic. Yes, I will use this human form of, I'm not dead yet, I'm not the body, I will somehow get back in action and do something for eternity and not just try to heal the body, which is also necessary when one is in such a situation. So shiksha has power when it comes in the shiksha line. And therefore, yes, shiksha is very important. It may be more important even than diksha, because you can take diksha and not follow shiksha, like 80% of our movement. You know, they don't take it serious. It's normal, and they soon will take it serious. Yes, yes. Shiksha has the power to, because they are not words which are spoken from the mental platform. They are not words which come from the mouth. They come from a deeper spiritual place. I know in ISKCON we use this word a little bit, not in this, with this understanding which it usually has from the tradition, but this is the idea of shiksha, that you get words of power, so to say, which can transform your life when you follow. Vishwadev, I'm doing a lot of writing now, and do you know what I find? I want to more and more quote in a way that is understandable for the modern mind what the tradition says, because I'm thinking when I speak or give an opinion, was ist der Wert davon? What is the value of this? And I do know that anyone who's in the position to give instructions, he has to say to himself, let not some thought come. That is not so interesting. Let this be connected speech. And let that be speech which is inspired by Krishna, because that does the work. The other things don't do the work. They are not valuable. They are valuable for relationships and so on. Yes, but I mean yes, now for spiritual instruction. So shiksha, yes. I hope I didn't, and you didn't ask one thing, and I answered another thing, you know. Maybe. Habe ich das nicht ganz getroffen, habe ich das Gefühl.
Yes, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's a kind of, it's their confirmation, because in our line, you know, the Goswamis, we took shiksha, so, but it's, I remember some years ago, there was a question, should you also make a ceremony if someone of the people want to take a shiksha, cannot follow the rules, but want to chant and want to get a shiksha relationship with a woman.
Yeah.
Is there kind of a possibility or even a ceremony for such a person?
Oh yes, 100%. What there is when someone wants to learn from, now I understand, he wants to learn from a guru, but he is not able to follow all the requirements for a formal initiation. There's great value in doing this. Great value, Vishwadev. Greatest value. Yeah, 100%. What I think about such relationships is that person should go to a particular guru and say, can I please learn from you? And how can this work? And they will be most happy to do this. I just got a letter on the email from one person. He met Prabhupada in 1974 or 73 or 72. I'm not good in numbers. He met him and he felt very inspired, but he just couldn't become Prabhupada's disciple. Then, see how strong Shiksha is. But he had heard Prabhupada. So he thought, I'm not, this is too high for me. This is too giving everything to Krishna. Let me become peaceful first. And he became a Zen Buddhist. And listen to this. He became the leader of a Zen center in New York. You know, with everything, robes and... He knows, he went to school with Harikesh. He is a friend of everyone. Brahma Tirtha. He mentioned his whom he all knows. And he said, now, it worked all 30 years, what Prabhupada said to me. 30 or more years. He must be very old. Now, it worked. And now I have given up my duties. I've delegated them in the Zen monastery, Zen center. I'm becoming initiated by Kadamba Karana Maharaj. He, like a young boy. He, this is a person who thinks, we can say. He has... So the Shiksha of Prabhupada has worked even when he did his zazen, sitting and doing the Zen meditation. It worked. So that is amazing, no? I just got an email. Just Gaur Krishna gave me maybe 3 or 2, 4 days ago. Jan, something with P. So, yes, what should be done is when someone wants to take Shiksha but cannot follow all the rules and regulations, I always think it's good if it's clear between the Shiksha person, the person who gives Shiksha, and the one who takes Shiksha, because then it's more personal and it can flow better. It can, after all, this is a student-teacher relationship, and when they should at least be introduced in the same classroom or like this. And George Harrison, he could not follow these four rules and regulations. He was, as a public person, cocaine was his thing. It makes you awake somehow. I heard. I don't know. Others of you may know. But he was really with Prabhupada. He had also his TM time, with Maharishi, his time with Maharishi, but he was always with Srila Prabhupada, and when he left his body, Prabhupada has left his body already, he, just imagine how strong the relationship was with Vishwadeva. He requested 2 Prabhupada disciples to be by his side, bring Radha Krishna deities into the room where he was spending his last days, and just following Krishna consciousness like this. Prabhupada once commented on George Harrison many things. He said, you don't need initiation. You're already Hari's son. Hari's son. Your son means. And then he's at the time, a few days before his departure, Prabhupada struggled to take a ring off. It was a golden ring, and then gave it to one of the devotees and said, give this to George, this golden ring. He has done more for spreading Krishna consciousness than most of my disciples. He had such an affectionate relationship, but the diksha was not done, was not formally done because, there was not, you know, he was a star, you know, and he was doing star things. There's a very good movie about George Harrison. I can recommend you to understand him a little bit. It's George Harrison from Michael Scorsese, you know, who has filmed Little Buddha also. A very good movie. Very amazing. It's a portrayal of George Harrison. Very amazing. You can really understand how he must have thought and felt. Very thoughtful person. Really, really good. And I have seen Mukunda Goswami has recommended, and he speaks in that movie also. He was a good friend of. So shiksha, it's a shiksha relationship. It never became a formal initiation. And you can see how much he is impressed by Prabhupada's teaching. When George gives his interviews, you can really see, oh, I have a quote of his about the Maha Mantra. If there are words which say everything what all other words try to say, it's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. He says in the, you know, in the Times magazine or anywhere, where, you know, he's not, he's wonderful, wonderful. Good, I went over time. I thank you very much. I wish you the most wonderful festival you can imagine. Please don't forget our Bhagavad Dharma. Maybe you are our announcer. You have to smile also like Gaurahari.
Excellent. Indeed, I'm very happy.